You may open your Bibles to 1 Kings 5 if you'd like to. And then we'll be noticing a number of verses in that chapter. And also we'll notice some over in 1 Chronicles and also some in 2 Chronicles. And we'll be reading these verses concerning the building of the temple back under the law. Mr. Cruden in his concordance defines the word temple as follows. He says, a house or dwelling of God, a building erected or set apart for the worship of the true God. And so the temple that was built back under the law of Moses was a house. It was a building of God. It was a building that was erected and set apart for the worship of the true God. Now today, we have a temple. We have the church of the living God. But this temple back in the Old Testament was designed for physical or material, we might say, Israel. But the temple of the New Testament is composed of those who are saved, those who are Christians, and thus those who are spiritual Israel. And so physical Israel, under the old law, were to serve God in a worship way. As far as public worship, they would serve God in the temple of God. And God promised He'd be with them. He'd meet with them when they were in the temple. Now, in the New Testament, the Lord has promised to be with us if we are in the temple of God, that is, in the church. We notice how that in 1 Corinthians 3:9, that Paul in the last part of the verse says, writing to Christians, ye are the temple of God. So we make up God's temple. We notice also in 1 Corinthians 3:16, in the first part of the verse, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? So then those who are saints, to whom Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians 1, make up the temple of God. And then we find in chapter 6, the last few verses of 1 Corinthians, that each individual Christian's body is the temple of God. We're concerned about the temple of God from the standpoint of the church now. And so spiritual Israel comprises or makes up the temple of God. Now back under the old law, then physical Israel did not make up the temple of God. The temple of God was a physical house or building in which they worship the true God. Now it's true that in the spiritual temple of the church, we worship God, but we make up that spiritual house, that spiritual temple. Now over in Romans the 2nd chapter, the Apostle Paul very clearly points out who constitutes Jews today. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how that so many denominational preachers can teach that those who live in Jerusalem today are the land of Israel, that make up Israel, they claim, are really the true Jews. There are no such things as true Jews today in a physical sense that God recognizes, that in the sense that He gives special favor unto them. They're under the same gospel everybody else would be under. But notice how that even in the first century, that the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 and in verse 25 beginning, he's discussing circumcision and how that it profiteth if a person kept the law back then, but if thou be breaking the law, then the circumcision was made uncircumcision. But then he goes on to say in verse 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Now, Paul clearly says that he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. And he says that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, is not true circumcision. Now, that settles the fact that there is, that physical circumcision and physical Jews are not true circumcision and true Jews, but that Christians are true Jews, and that spiritual circumcision, which is the true circumcision, occurred in the heart of each person or the life of each person when he became a Christian, that God circumcised that person spiritually in that he cut him loose from his sins, purified him, set him apart to serve him, and thus that person is a child of God. And that's taught very clearly in the second chapter of the book of Colossians. But I want us to notice back in 1 Kings, the 5th chapter, some similarities between the temple and the church. We may not have time for all of the lesson today, but this morning. If we don't, we'll resume it tonight. But we notice how that in let's begin in verse 1, that it says, "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon." Now let me pause to say this, that at this particular time that Solomon was king over physical Israel. "And so Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David." Now, David being the father of Solomon, Hiram, king of Tyre, loved David, so when his son came into the kingship, when he was anointed king, then he sent his servants unto Solomon, and Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, "Thou knowest how that David, my father, could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil concurrent." Now notice that he said there in verse 3 that David, his father, could not build the temple. Could not do so because, you know, of the wars, you know, that existed. Well, in another passage, he mentions the fact that he was a man of war and that he had blood on him, and so God would not allow David to build the temple, but he would allow his son Solomon to do that. But now we notice over in 1 Chronicles 22, but now hold 1 Kings 5, but in 1 Chronicles 22 and in verse 7 and 8, that it says, "And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight." So we can see then that God did not allow David, who was spoken of on one occasion as a man after God's own heart, to build the temple. And the reason was because he had shed too much blood in wars. But he would allow his son Solomon, who succeeded him, you know, to build the temple. And oftentimes we, you know, make reference to Solomon's temple. We just mean it was Solomon's in the sense that Solomon was the one who had it built. And so David could not build the temple. But now let's notice a similarity, you know, about the church. You know, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he told the people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the kingdom of heaven, certainly, is the church of the living God. And John the Baptist said that it was nearby, it was nigh, it was at hand. But John the Baptist could not build the church. Just like David could not build the church, John the Baptist could not. Not for the same reason. But he wasn't allowed to build the church. Now notice in John 3 and verse 29 and verse 30 that John said, he's talking about Jesus Christ, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. So obviously John was a friend of the bridegroom. The bridegroom, but he wasn't the bridegroom. And notice how that it goes on to say, he that is this bridegroom, and he must increase, but I must decrease. Now John says, I must increase. John says, he must increase, I must decrease. We notice how that after John had been killed, in Matthew 14 and Mark 6, that in Matthew 16 and verse 18, that Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. So John did not build the church. Now Luke 1 tells us, verse 17, that John came to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He was a forerunner of Jesus. And John said, he that cometh after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, are stooped down and unloose. Now here's the one that came after him, referring to Jesus Christ. Now he would increase, but John says, I'll decrease. Now John did not build the church. John could not build the church, and John had been killed before Jesus said, I will build my church. And so we can see then that like David was not allowed to build the temple, then John was not allowed to build the church. But we notice back in 1 Kings 5 and in verse 4 and 5 that Solomon's, it says, but now the Lord my God, Solomon speaking, hath given me rest on every side, so there is neither adversary nor evil concurrent. And behold, I purpose or propose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto me. And so Solomon, who followed David, built the temple. We notice also in 1 Chronicles 22 that we have in verse 9 and 10 a statement concerning this. When it says, behold, a son shall be born to thee, God obviously speaking to David, he shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son. And I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for Israel forever. So David could not build the house, the temple of God, but Solomon could and did. John the Baptist could not build the temple, the church, but Jesus Christ could. And Jesus Christ did. We read where Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew 6 and 18. And we read later that the church was in existence, like in Acts 2:47, it's spoken of as being in existence because it says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so there's that similarity. But let's notice also that back in 1 Kings 5 and in verse 4, that it says, but now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil concurrent. In other words, he's saying that there's no adversaries, there's nothing evil that's occurring that can keep me from building the house, the temple of God. And so he would accomplish that which God wanted him to accomplish. And so, this evil concurrent would just simply be evil incident. There'd be no evil incidents that would be occurring that would keep him from carrying out his mission. Now, similarly, you know, Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, the American Standard says, the gates of Hades should not prevail against it. There in Matthew 16:18. There wasn't anything that could keep the Lord from building His church. Now, when Jesus Christ died and went to the Hadean world, you know, He went to Hades, but that did not stop Jesus Christ from building the church. Because on the third day He arose from the dead. His soul came out of the Hadean world and went back into His body that was raised from the tomb. And Jesus Christ later built His church. So even the gates of Hades, His death, and His going to the Hadean world, His body being put in the tomb, could not, you know, keep Him from building His church, could not prevail against the building of the church. Now let's notice back over in 1 Kings 5, and this time in verse 6, that it says, "Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon." Let me pause long enough to say this, that oftentimes we read about the cedars of Lebanon. Obviously they were outstanding cedar trees. And so here we learn that Solomon says, "Now therefore command thou," and he, now notice that he's sending this back to this message back to Hiram, king of Tyre. He says, "Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servants accordingly to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians." In other words, we don't really have people that can hew those cedar trees like the Sidonians can. And so you go ahead and you get this done for us, and we'll pay for it. So Solomon wanting the very best, and wanted it hewed out the very best. And so Solomon used some special material that he might build the temple. And one of those materials would be the cedars of Lebanon. And they'd be hewn a certain way. He wouldn't just use any kind of material. It's interesting to me that God did not tell Solomon, you know, to make the temple out of gopher wood. But that's what He told Noah about the ark, isn't it? But not Solomon about the temple. And so Solomon built the temple out of cedars of Lebanon. But notice over in 1 Peter 2, that obviously, verse 5, that the temple of God, the church, has special material in it. Not just any material, but special material. The world does not make up the church. There is special material in the church. Now 1 Peter 2:5 very clearly says, "Ye," and he's writing to Christians, to saints, he says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house." You constitute a spiritual house. You really constitute the temple of God. And he says, lively stones. Now, we need to act like that, too. We don't need to act like dead stones. We need to be active, working, doing God's will. And says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So here are some special people. Here are people that are lively stones that constitute this spiritual house. Here are people that make up a holy priesthood. And then notice also that in verse 9, that he says, but ye, talking to the same people, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. Now this peculiar people just simply means His own special people. You know, sometimes people, they really think that this peculiar means odd, but it really doesn't mean odd. Now, it's true that we seem odd to people of the world. We seem strange, Peter says to them. And we're different from the world, and we're taught to be different, not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. But this idea of being peculiar is not the idea of being oddballs. It's the idea of being God's special people, a people of God's own possession. So here's that special material that makes up the temple of God. We're part of that. And so we can see that similarity. Special physical material that made up the physical temple, the building of God in Old Testament times. Here is special material that makes up the spiritual temple, the church, the house of the living God. And thus we can see that similarity. And we ought to recognize if we're special people that God expects us to act like it. God doesn't expect us to act like the world, where that the world doesn't know us from themselves. That a person would never be discovered as being known as a Christian by his actions or his dress or his words, unless somebody happened to find out that he claimed to be one. That ought not to be the case. We ought to be, since we are a special people, we ought to recognize that we are God's possession and that we're lively stones. We are a chosen generation, that we indeed are a royal priesthood. And then, now notice why we are all of these things. Why are we this temple of God? He says that, in 1 Peter 2:9, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You were at one time in darkness, you're now in God's marvelous light, and you've been called out of darkness into light that you might show forth His praises. Okay. Then he says, which in times past were not a people. You know, in times past, he says, you were not a people, but now, he says, are the people of God. So we're God's people. Special material. Now, the denominational world doesn't understand that. What we call the religious world doesn't understand that. Now, it's true that we are religious, too, because we practice pure religion. But what's known as the religious world does not understand that at all. They don't understand the fact that true Christians are called out of the world. The word church, or that the word translated church, suggests the idea of being called out. It's an assembly, called out of the world, called out of darkness into His marvelous light for a purpose, to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us. We're called out that we might serve Him. You know, a lot of people have no idea who God is. And if you don't have an idea who God is, you couldn't serve Him, could you? And, you know, recently I mentioned the fact that the Mormons do not serve the same God we serve. In fact, I was reading some quotations from some of the writings of Joseph Smith and one of the so-called first apostles of the Mormon Church, Orson Pratt. And Joseph Smith talked about the Father of Jesus Christ, and he says, and the Father had a father. That meant Jesus had a grandfather. Is that the God you serve? A God that has a father? You know, here's Jesus has a grandfather, according to Mormonism. That's Joseph Smith who founded it, said that. And one of their so-called apostles, who was supposed to be receiving revelations from God and supposed to be inspired of God, he said that if he were to take the particles of all the worlds and count them, that there'd be more gods than there are particles. Now, that's Mormonism. And Mormonism does not tell you that when we're talking to you after knocking on your door. They're sweet little men that's going around trying to deceive you. Well, they know they believe in many gods. They don't want you to know it because you wouldn't turn them in your door hardly if you knew that they believed in that. And if somebody, some of them says, well, I really don't believe that. Well, they're denying then the what one of their apostles, who they claim was inspired of God, taught, and they deny what their very founder, that was the prophet of God in those days, they claim, what he taught. So they're not true Mormons then. But anyway, we are a special people that we've been called out of the world. We make up the temple of God. Just like there was that special material that was hewn out of cedar, those cedars of Lebanon, that might make up the temple of Solomon. Now let's drop back to 1 Kings 5. And let's notice this time in verse 6 again, and then we'll drop down to another verse. Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servants, according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill. You know, there's not really any among us, you know, that has the skill, is what he's really saying. You know, that can skill or has the skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. Well, now, a lot of people never would admit that somebody else can do something better than they can. But Solomon did. He said, in fact, there's not a one of us among the Israelites who has a skill like the Sidonians do to hew out these cedars. So we'll hire you. We'll pay you to do that. Okay? And then drop down to verse 11. And it says, and Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household, and 20 measures of pure oil, thus gave Solomon to Hiram year by year. And so we see here that each year then that Solomon gave hire for the servants of Hiram. Because what they're doing to help build the temple. I mean, get the material ready. And you know, there's one thing we overlook many times is the fact that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a householder. And I'm going to Matthew 20. That went out early in the morning to hire laborers to work in his vineyard. Now, the kingdom of heaven is likened to this. That means the church is likened to this. And so he says, and when he had agreed with them, with the laborers, for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And incidentally, that 11th hour would mean that it's a 5 o'clock. They'd started that morning at 6. I mean, these others had. The different ones throughout the day. And so here's the 11th hour. Well, they had 12-hour work days back then. But anyway, when I found these standing idle at the 11th hour, and so he asked them why. Stand ye idle all the day. Or why ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall ye receive. And so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. When the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which has borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because mine is good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called but few chosen. He says the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. So it looks to me like what he's saying is that every person that becomes a part of the temple of God today, the church, will receive the same pay. Here's a person that began serving God as a young man or a young lady. And at the end of the way, it may be 40, 50, 60, 70 years of faithfulness. Then he dies faithful, that person will receive heaven. But here's a person that does not obey the Lord, does not receive the Lord's teaching, and so he hears the teaching of the Lord, and he believes it, obeys it, and he lives 2 weeks. And he dies faithful. He receives heaven. Now that may not seem just to us, but that giving of that belongs to the Lord, and he'll do what he will with his own. He has the right to do that. But anyway, each one received the, and we put like this quotation mark, and so in a figurative way, hire according to what the Lord saw fit to give him in this vineyard. And likewise we read. You know, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:28, to come unto me all ye that labor, ye are workers, and I will give you rest. So he said, I'll give you rest if you'll labor. So all ye that labor, heavy laden, come to me, I'll give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Now here's what you do in the kingdom or the temple. He says, take my yoke upon you. And he says, my yoke is easy, and burden is light. But you've got to take the yoke, bear the burden. You've got to do whatever is necessary. But the Lord will reward those who do so, just like Solomon, you know, paid those servants. Now notice further, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and enter through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14. So those who do what God says, make up the temple of God, and they'll enter into the city. They'll be saved eternally. You know, Revelation 2:7 says, he that overcometh, here's a person working in God's kingdom. He's serving God. He overcomes the world of sin. He that overcometh shall I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Not just some who overcome, but he that overcometh. And then notice Revelation 2:10, he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Not just some who are faithful will be saved eternally, but all who are faithful. Be faithful. Anyone who's faithful to the Lord and thou is faithful will receive a crown of life. The Lord doesn't let us labor in vain. You remember that the Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 15:58, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And when these servants of Tyre, of the king of Tyre, Hiram, you know, was the king of Tyre, but these servants of Hiram, when they did what Solomon wanted done, then they received pay for it. Well, we receive pay or wages for what we do too. And we notice also that in Matthew 25 and in verse 34, in that judgment scene that is pictured, that the Bible points out very clearly that when Jesus Christ made the separation, or the Son of Man, it says, all nations before him, he separates from one another, as a shepherd by the sheep from the goats, and he says those on the right hand, to come ye blessed my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And notice why he said to receive it. He said, because, he says, I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you ministered to me, or you came unto me. See, they did something. So he says, enter in. Now, to those on the left hand, he says, depart in everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels, because I was hungry and thirsty and so on, and said, you didn't minister to me. Now, he tells them how these didn't. He tells these others how they did when they said, Lord, when did we see you like this and do these things to you? He said, inasmuch as you did it unto the one at least of these, my brethren. That's saints helping saints. You did it unto me. That's what he's saying, isn't it? These others said, Lord, when did we see you like this and not help you, not assist you? I'm paraphrasing. And the Lord said, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not. Depart in everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. So we can certainly see then, there is the reward or the wages, if we might use the expression in an accommodative sense, wages. There is that reward the Bible speaks of. Here is that gift of eternal life God speaks of, but it's a conditional gift. And so, just like Solomon gave higher for the servants than Jesus Christ, in a sense, hires us. And he rewards us for our service to him. You know, God is not unrighteous, Hebrews 6:10 says, to forget your work of righteousness, your labor of love, and so on. He's not unrighteous. He won't forget it. When saints do things, they're working works of righteousness, or they're laboring through love, the Lord won't forget that. That means he will reward us for it. And thus we can see there's a lot of similarities between the church and the building of Solomon's temple. But we're going to close this morning, and Lord willing, we'll resume our study tonight. Now, only those who are of special material constitute the church, and so to be, but any person can be of that special material and thus be in the church. Because those who now are in the church at one time were in darkness, that's in wickedness, that's in sin. And so God called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. So any person, doesn't matter how deep he is in sin or how far in darkness he is, can be called into his marvelous light and thus be this special material and be a part of the temple of God. We do that by faith. We trust in God. We have enough faith in God that we believe what he says. And we thus repent of our sins as alien sinners and confess our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, as the Son of God, and then we're buried in baptism for remission of our sins. We're then washed, made pure, added to the temple of God. And then as a child of God, when we sin, we need to repent of the sin, need to confess our sins and pray for forgiveness, as Acts 8:22 and James 5:16 says. So if you're not in the temple of God, or if you're in God's temple and you strayed, and you need to be purified to be this special material, we are going to sing to encourage you to obey the Lord this morning. You may stand if you like while we sing. Have gone.